this past week I had a couple days of laryngitis, and fortunately I got rid of it more or less in time for the wedding yesterday and the 8 baptisms, the confessions, and the vigil mass last night, and then the 3 masses today. So I'm grateful to the Lord I at least have some voice. Hopefully you can hear me okay in the back. But there was a small jet plane going from Washington to New York, and it carried 4 passengers. You had the pilot, and then the 4 passengers were Tiger Woods, Bill Gates, Pope John Paul II, and a leftover hippie from the 1960s. And the plane started having engine trouble, and the pilot knew that they were going to crash, or the pilot came out of the cockpit and said, "The bad news is that there's only 4 parachutes, and there's 5 of us." And the pilot grabbed the parachute, jumped out the door to save himself. Well, Tiger Woods was right on his feet and said, "I'm the world's greatest golfer. The PGA Tour needs me. I have many more tournaments to win." So he grabbed the parachute and jumped out to save his life. Bill Gates stood up and he said, "I'm the world's smartest man, and the world needs me." So he too grabbed the parachute, jumped out to save his life. And there we have, sitting there, Pope John Paul II, 83 years old, and a young leftover hippie from the 1960s. And the Pope said, "My son, I've lived a very long and beautiful life. You're rather young. You should have your whole life ahead of you. And I want you to take the last parachute and save your life." And the hippie said, "Hey, Holy Father, hey, man, don't worry about it, JP2. The smartest man in the world just jumped out the plane wearing my backpack." So I bring this up because Pope John Paul II this week celebrates his 25th year as Pope. What a long and wonderful papacy it has been for a Holy Father. A few years back, he celebrated 50 years as a priest. And this week, October 16th, 25 years as Pope, one of the longest papacies in the history of the Church. And when we see what God has accomplished through him in these past 25 years, it truly is amazing. The Holy Father, as you know, has traveled more than any other pope in history. He's written more than any other pope in history. He has been seen by more people throughout the world than probably any man in world history. And he has been one of the greatest voices to proclaim the dignity of the human person and human rights throughout the world. He's really the spokesperson for life. In this culture of death that we live in, his voice has been so clear to talk about the sanctity of each and every human life from the moment of conception until natural death. And the Holy Father has written so beautifully and spoken and has really helped bring about so many countless conversions in the last 25 years as Pope. I'm sure one day he'll be a canonized saint, and one day they'll be calling him Pope John Paul the Great, the title given to only a handful of the great popes of history. The Holy Father issued the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the first universal catechism issued in 450 years. The Holy Father, as you know, speaks numerous languages and has really helped to be the one responsible in part for the fall of communism and the downfall of the Iron Curtain, as well as the Berlin Wall, and many other things the Holy Father has been involved with in promoting social justice and respect for human life. This past year, the Holy Father did something very special. He proclaimed this year to be the year of the Rosary. And this is such a powerful year of grace for the Church. And this next week, we're celebrating the Year of the Rosary at the Basilica of the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception this coming Saturday from 9:30 to 2:30. The bishop and many of the priests of the diocese will be there, and I hope you'll be there as well to celebrate the Year of the Rosary. And this is going to be a very powerful day of grace. We'll have over 45 priests there. They'll be hearing confessions, so it's a great opportunity to go to confession that day and to join us in the recitation of the new luminous mysteries of the Rosary. And these mysteries will be recited in each decade, will be in a different language. The first decade in English, the second in Spanish, the third in Korean, the fourth in Vietnamese, and the fifth in Tagalog, in Filipino. So we encourage you to be there, and the day will end with a 1 o'clock mass with the bishop, and I really hope a lot of our Holy Trinity parishioners will be there, especially those of you who have never been to the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. Even if you have been, come again and bring the whole family for this day of grace. The Shrine of the Immaculate Conception was named after Our Lady, who is the patroness of the Americas. Back in 1847, the Pope said that the patroness of all the Americas is Our Lady, under the title of the Immaculate Conception. The shrine was begun in the year 1920, and it took almost 40 years for the shrine to be finished. Now I can guarantee Holy Trinity will be a lot quicker than that, right, when we build our church. We're not going to wait all those years. But of course, they had to deal with the Great Depression in 1929, World War II, and then after the war, then they began again to finish the project. It was completed in the year 1959. It's the largest Catholic church in the United States. It's the eighth largest Catholic church in the world. And what a great privilege. It's only, what, 45 minutes or an hour from here. It seats 6,000 people. It has 60 chapels within the shrine dedicated to the titles of Our Lady of Lourdes and Guadalupe and Fatima. And the bell tower is over 330 feet tall. It's the third largest building in Washington, D.C. And that bell tower was donated by the Knights of Columbus. And I'm here to say that when we build our bell tower at Holy Trinity, this is just a hint for all the knights. Maybe they want to build our tower, bell tower for us. Okay, so that's just a hint for you guys who are knights. But please join us to celebrate the year of the Rosary. The Holy Father has said that the Rosary is his favorite prayer. And as a young man, he felt a call to the priesthood. Jesus called him to give up a great career that he was going to have in acting and teaching and sports. But the Holy Father heard the call of Christ and followed the Lord. And it's sort of the opposite of what happened in today's gospel. Today's gospel, you had the rich young man came up to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, you know what to do. Follow the commandments." And so that's the Lord's answer, to follow the commandments. And the young man, who apparently was a very good person, he said, "I have observed all these things from my youth. I've observed the commandments." He says, the Lord looked at him with love and said, "But I'm going to now call you to a higher calling. I'm going to call you to be a disciple, to be an apostle, and to be a follower of mine." So he says, "I want you to go, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." And the church has interpreted this to mean that Jesus was calling this young man to the priesthood, to make vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, that he was calling this young man to be a disciple. Now, the young man apparently was too attached to all his material possessions, and he walked away sad because it says he had many possessions. It doesn't say he walked away damned. It says he walked away sad because the Lord was calling him to the higher vocation, to give up everything and to follow Christ. Now, we don't even know this young man's name. He went back into obscurity. The 12 apostles who did follow Christ, we know all their names. We have churches built in their honor, St. Peter's and St. Paul and St. Matthew's Cathedral, and all the beautiful churches that we have are named after the apostles. But this young man went back into obscurity. The Holy Father, though, John Paul II, as a young man, heard the call of Christ. And what brought about the Holy Father's call was reading a book. The Holy Father was given a copy of a book that I hope all of you will read, called True Devotion to Mary by St. Louis de Montfort, one of the great books ever written on the Blessed Mother. And that book, which talks about giving yourself to Jesus through Mary, that book turned Pope John Paul II's life around. And he said, "This is the answer. This is going to be my spirituality. Everything to Jesus through Mary." and he made the consecration of himself to Jesus through Mary. He carried that book with him everywhere he went. When he was working in the factories and in the mines, he would read a page whenever he had a spare moment. He carried the book with him all the time. And then he became an underground seminarian. After the communists and the Nazis took over Poland, the Holy Father had to study for the faith underground in the secret seminary, but eventually was ordained a priest and then eventually a bishop. And now, of course, Pope John Paul II, one of the great men of history. So he really followed the will of God in his life. And unlike the rich young man who went back into obscurity, Pope John Paul II was raised up to lead the church for this past 25 years. Now it's interesting that after this rich young man walked away, the Lord reaffirmed how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. And he talked about that if we try in our own human way to get there, of our own efforts without God's grace, it's impossible to get to heaven, because heaven is a supernatural destiny. It's a supernatural place. And so to get there, we need God's grace. So only with God's grace can we be given the ability to get to heaven. See, it says, for man it's impossible, but not for God. With God, all things are possible. So with God's grace and us cooperating with God's grace, then we will get to heaven. God gives us the grace to get to know his son Jesus, to follow the Ten Commandments, and to be with him forever in heaven. So of our own efforts, it's impossible on our natural level to save ourselves. We need God's grace. We need God's help to save us. And God gives us his grace through his son Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. He gives us his grace through his sacraments and through the church. And we respond to that, and we pray that we will always respond to the Lord generously. Because then the Lord concludes by saying, whenever we give up anything in this world, we get it back 100-fold and eternal life in the world to come. See, St. Peter spoke up and said, Lord, we've given up everything to follow you. What's going to happen to us? And the Lord assured him that any sacrifice you make, anything you do in this life, as a sacrifice out of love for me and for the sake of the kingdom, you will be blessed. The Lord says you'll get back 100 times in this present age and eternal life in the world to come. And that's the good news of salvation. Anything we sacrifice for the Lord, we get back, not only in this world, but in the next world. And so today we should be praying for the Holy Father. His health is failing, as you know. We should pray for that he will be sustained as long as the Lord wants him to guide the church. He's that young man who responded so beautifully to the call of Christ. And we should follow his example and not the example of the young man who walked away in the scriptures. God bless you.